I invite your attention to Philippians chapter 4, from verse 10 to the end. Philippians 4, verse 10 to verse 23. This is the concluding passage in the letter to the Philippians, and it will form the last address in the series, These Thoughts on Philippians. Once again, we have a passage here where there's no great theological argument, but there are some remarkable statements here, almost digressions, one might say. And once again, we're given a window on the life of these early believers. And we see their troubles, their joys, their difficulties, their happinesses, their confidence, their care and their love. And once again, we see the Philippian church is indeed a very lovely church. And the brothers and sisters there are favored, and they're an example to us all. There's no one great subject in this section, although one topic does stand out perhaps more than others, and it's the question, the thorny question, of financial support for those in need, particularly for Paul here in his ministry in the gospel. And it's quite clear from what he says to the Philippians here that the brothers and sisters at Philippi had proved their spirituality, their care, their love for this man, in that they had supported him financially again and again when he was in need. Verse 14, he says, "It was good of you to share in my troubles." They had shared in his troubles, and in particular, his financial troubles. He had sacrificed everything, lost everything, as he told the Philippians, for the sake of Christ, for serving Christ in the gospel. In verse 15, right in the early days of their conversion, their spiritual experience, just as they were converted and coming into walking with Christ, verse 15, the Philippians, when Paul set out from Macedonia, the Philippians were the only church to send to him, in, as he says in verse 15, in the matter of giving and receiving. Very early believers, very young believers, just converted. You can read of it in the Acts of the Apostles. And Paul is leaving Macedonia, and it was the Philippians, though newly converted, who generously supported him at that time. And again, verse 16, that wasn't the only occasion. When he was in Thessalonica, they sent to him aid again and again, more than once there, repeatedly. And even now, verse 18, Epaphroditus has brought gifts from the Philippians to Paul. So I say again, the Philippians are an example to us of sharing, giving generously to those in the gospel service and believers in need, and generous supporting and caring and loving concern. They stand as an example to me and to you, believing friend. This church is exemplary in this. Now, Paul has a narrow path to tread here. He doesn't want to seem as though he's looking for money, and he's not. He starts in verse 10, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me." They had concern for him. It's not just the money. They'd prayed for him and thought for him and cared for him, very much like the Ephesians. They wept when they thought they would see his face no more, Acts 20. But the Philippians had no opportunity, whatever that might mean. They had, perhaps they were in poverty themselves, I don't know. But Paul has this narrow path to tread, and verse 11 he treads it. I'm not telling you all this, I'm not saying this, I'm not thanking you so that you will send money. I'm not looking for money, I'm not begging for it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need. Now, he might have been in need. He might have needed money. But the point he's saying here is something very high indeed, a very high standard. I have learned, he says, verse 11, to be content, whatever the circumstances, even when I'm hungry. And he mentions that in verse 12. Or even when he's got plenty, and he doesn't financially need at all, whatever state he's in, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, verse 12. But the fact is that I have learned the secret, he says, of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now, what a mighty, challenging statement this is. What an encouraging statement it is, too. In all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, in plenty and in need, in hunger and abundance, I have learned. I've had the experience and I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Now, we can pray that God will teach us that, it's a dangerous thing to pray. Well, we must pray. But how do we get patience? How do we get learning contentment? Let's pray for patience. God won't give us patience. What he will do is give us circumstances to try our patience. And by learning and experience through those trying circumstances, we will learn to be patient. Lord, make me content. That means he will send me circumstances to make me discontented, uncontented, lacking content. And it's by traveling through those experiences, traveling along those roads, that I learn patience and contentment. I have learned, he said. I didn't go to the shop and the store and take it off the shelf in a packet and take it home. I can, like a bit of software for the computer, upload it. You can't upload patience. You can't upload contentment. We have to learn it. I have learned the secret of it. And what is the secret? I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. He had learned surely that God is sovereign. That's why he wrote to the Romans. We know that in all things, God works for the good of them that love him. And I have learned this, he said, by experience. John Newton said, each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to see me right through, quite through. Every blessing, every token of God's love in the past should surely teach me by experience, as I grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ, that he will never desert me, he will never leave me, he will never forsake me. I have learned, says Paul, that Christ gives me strength to bear anything. He's not bragging. He's treading this narrow path. Thank you for the gifts. And I rejoice in them. It was good of you. I thank you for them. But I have learned. It's a nice balance here, a wonderful balance here. And I want to learn this lesson. I want to have this confidence in this faith. I trust Christ to redeem me. I trust that his blood washes me from my sin. I trust that his righteousness clothes me. I want to trust him in all the changing scenes of life. I hope that's an encouragement to you, fellow believer. I hope it's a challenge to you. It's so easy to be discontented. The world is discontented, grumbling and moaning. Paul is in prison here. He can't preach. He can't travel. He's suffering. He's going to die. But I have learned, in every circumstance, to do everything by Christ's strength. When he writes to Timothy, he says, they've all deserted me and fled. They've all gone. I'm alone. No one stood with me. Very few. They've all gone now. But Christ has never deserted me. But then again, he elevates the giving by these Philippians. He says in verse 18, I have received full payment, and even more, I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. And then he elevates it. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. What is he referring to? The priesthood of all believers. I can't develop it here. I can only suggest again that if you want to read more of what I think on this, read my book, please, The Priesthood of All Believers. The priesthood of all believers. Every believer is a priest, is a king, a royal priest, a sacrificing priest, but it's all spiritual, of course. That can mean preaching, teaching, it can mean giving, sharing, praying, worshipping, all sorts. The whole range of the Christian life. But here Paul picks on this sharing of money, this prayerful concern. And how does he describe it? Well, I thank you for the pounds, shillings, and pence. I thank you for the dollars or whatever it is. The drachmas or whatever it is. They're a fragrant offering. What a raising of the standard. An acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. God knows what we do for him, brother and sister. Is that an encouragement to you? The writer of the Hebrews says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God knows. He will not forget the support that you've given. I think it's Hebrews 6 verse 10. I'll just have a look and see. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. Thinking of calling this little address something about gaining. We all gain in giving in Christ. Paul gained the money. But the Philippians gained because God saw it and it was pleasing to him. And Paul says, in verse 17, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. There's nothing we do for God, but that we are the gainers by it. We don't do it for the gain. But I'll say that again. Whatever we do for God, not only does the other person gain, but we gain. What a glorious Christian life this is. What a glorious work this is. No wonder he says in verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And again he raises everything to a very high standard, Paul does, in verse 19. He's talking about money and the giving of money and exchange rates and how it values here and how it's a benefit to me there. He's talking in practical terms, yes, but the priesthood of all believers, verse 18. Now verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That's the secret I've learned, he says. I can do everything through Christ, and God knows my need. There's nothing I do for him, but he recognizes it and remembers it and will honor me for it and reward me for it and bless me through it. And he will meet all my needs, not most of them, not some of them, all of them. Are you in need, believer, at the moment? He will meet all your needs. And if you're not in need at the moment, much conscious need, don't put this doctrine too far away, this verse too far away. The time will come very soon when once again you will need the truth here that my God, our God, your God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. Greet all the saints, says Paul, verse 21, in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ, be with your spirit. Amen. What a lovely picture we have here. Concern, care, prayer, giving, rewarding, honoring God, being honored, riches, peace, contentment, and so on and so on. And all of it has come from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit. Of course, you can say to me, well, the Spirit's not mentioned here. No, he doesn't speak of himself, does he? He speaks of Christ. And he does in verse 19. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, yes. The Father's here. The Son is here, Christ Jesus. The Spirit is not mentioned, but who is he that makes us content? Who is he that moves us to give and pray for others? Who is he that gives grace to us? The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Who conveys that grace to us? Who brought us into Christ? Who keeps us in Christ? Who gives us this joy, this assurance, this confidence, this love, this mutual care? Who taught Paul the secret? Who taught Paul to say, I can do everything through him who gives me strength, the Spirit, the Spirit? He speaks of Christ, and Christ is in it all. Unbeliever, I do not envy you. What is your life compared to this? I'm glad I belong to such a society as this, such a caring assembly as this, a gathering as this, that I know believers who pray for me. I know believers who support me and encourage me, believers who receive from me, and I can assure you that there is such a mutuality about it, there is such a blessing in it. It's sometimes said we're not God's debtor. I mean, God owes us nothing. Whatever we give, he seems to give us more. Do you feel like me, believer, that you want to share in all this and know it more? Unbeliever, would you like it? Would you want it? Do you want it? It can be yours now. You can have all this kind of care and love and surrounding sweetness. But you must come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a sinner, knowing that you're a sinner, ruined in the fall, condemned, crying out for mercy, looking to Christ to save you. If Christ is your all, then you will be part and parcel of this. And the youngest believer, remember these Philippians from the very early days, had seen the spiritual grace and gift to be able to share with Paul. May God help us in this. So, unbeliever, come to Christ and enjoy such a society as this in him. And believer, may we prove this grace and enjoy this grace and demonstrate this grace and love more and more. I'll close with John Ryland's hymn. O Lord, I would delight in thee and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. When all created streams are dried, thy fullness is the same. May I with this be satisfied, and glory in thy name. No good in creatures can be found, but may be found in thee. I must have all things and abound, while God is God to me. Oh, that I had a stronger faith to look within the veil, to rest on what my Saviour saith, whose word can never fail. He that has made my heaven secure will here all good provide. While Christ is rich, can I be poor? What can I want beside? O Lord, I cast my care on thee, I triumph and adore. Henceforth my great concern shall be to love and please thee more. There was one point there that came over to me as I repeated that hymn. God will supply all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Outside of Christ, it's poverty. In Christ is all. He that has made my heaven secure will here all good provide, while Christ is rich. can I be poor? What can I want beside? O Lord, I cast my care on thee. I triumph and adore. Henceforth my great concern shall be to love and please thee more.